Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:15 ahead of Nats baseball. They're looking to beat the Rockies for the second time in as many nights at Nationals Park. They get the ball to Andrew Alvarez tonight, taking on Colorado. Show's brought to you exclusively by the law firm Cundori & Murad.
They can help you with so many things like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Each and every day on Grant and Danny, we give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. It's in the rearview mirror. Beltway Blitz to follow, and it is now time to do that. And we start you off with the Nats as they get ready for baseball. Our buddy Andrew Golden covers the Nats, joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Andrew, I got to say, the attendance numbers, I didn't expect a lot of people to be at these games, but man, oh man, I mean, it has been light at Nationals Park of late. Is this just cost of doing business when you're not in the hunt and school's back in session, or is there more to it than that, do you think?
Yeah, that's it to me. Obviously, they're playing the Colorado Rockies, which this doesn't help anything at all. But I think that's the nature of the business, and I think obviously just the fact that, you know, they haven't been playing the best baseball of late. But that's what I chalk it up to. I think if they were playing maybe a team that was, you know, in the hunt, in the race, maybe be some more fans. But I think, you know, just the nature of where they're at in the year, I think it probably makes it a little bit difficult to get fans and draw them in at the moment.
Was it 7 days ago or 8 days ago they made the announcement that C.J. Abrams will be playing second? Now, I know he had a little bit of the ankle scare there where he went to second base awkward, so he was in the lineup DHing last night. But when are we going to see it?
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time just to make sure that he's fully healthy and able to play second base with no limitations or restrictions. So I think obviously he's coming off the ankle injury, and you know Blake Buterra was saying he's good running in a straight line, but you know running from you know home to second, it was double yesterday, it was a little bit more difficult. And so I think, you know, they want to get into a place where he's fully healthy and able to participate in those things. And so I think it will happen in the near future, but I think they want to make sure that he's fully healthy before that happens.
So my Tom Holland spidey senses were up a little bit before the injury that we know he's not excited about playing second. Maybe he's dragging his feet a little bit. Then obviously there was this issue where he gets banged up. It's like he's DHing again tonight. Is it 0% do you think that he's dragging his feet about playing second and they're kind of still smoothing this over with him? Like, is that a zero on the scale?
Yeah, I don't really buy that. I think it's very, very low. I mean, I think zero is probably a fair one to say. I don't necessarily know if that's the kind of player that CJ is. Even regardless, if he didn't like the position he was playing, and obviously, understandably, he's not, you know, thrilled about playing second base. I just doesn't seem like the kind of thing that he would do. So you know, I mean, you can't ever see anything's, you know, 100%. But I have a very maybe we'll say 0.5% maybe.
It's close enough to zero for me. I will take that. Yeah. Kate Cavalli's been incredible. He's now got an ERA barely over 3.2, and he's on his way to, you know, a 15-win season for a bad team. I'm not a wins-losses guy, but that feels like significant that he's getting that deep into starts. He's three or fewer runs allowed, 26 of 28 outings. That's two more than Jacob Mizorowski, the front runner for Cy Young in the National League. What do you make of his season?
I make that he's just kind of starting to come into his own. If you think about it, obviously last year he only had a few, you know, eight or so starts. So this feels a lot like his rookie season in a lot of ways. And it looks like just as the season goes on, he's starting to really just figure out who he is and how he can pitch and how, you know, hitters are approaching him and how he can kind of attack. So it kind of just feels like he's pretty early on in his career, just learning his arsenal, what he's capable of. I think obviously the prospect fatigue, the injuries, it makes it seem like he should be a full-on veteran, but this is really kind of his rookie season in a lot of ways, and it kind of feels like he's just starting to find his rhythm and find his groove, and I would expect more of this moving forward, even heading next season. I would expect him to kind of be the ace and kind of one of the head guys. That's what he's been, you know, for most of the second half, as you mentioned.
Who are these? I mean, they've had a rotating cast in the bullpen. It's like Murphy Brown's secretary. I know that's a reference that's way too old for you, Andrew, as a young person, but trust me, it was a great one. Who's going to stick here? Are some of these guys, sort of maybe making a dent here?
Yeah, I think Will Dion's really intriguing. Obviously, they have Matt Waldron, who they just activated today, and so maybe he's a guy who can maybe stick with his knuckleball. He's pretty unique, but I think they have some guys that are really interesting. I think Clayton Beter is obviously a guy that I think they kind of rely on and like a lot. But he's obviously been a mainstay most of the season, but I think Will Dion's a guy to watch. I mean, Tolman's been an interesting surprise, and we'll see if that can continue. But I'm interested, you know, as you mentioned, I'm interested to see who kind of stands out. But I think Dion's a guy that stands out to me, and I think that I'm interested to see what Matt Waldron does too.
Yeah, will be intriguing. All right, lastly, before we let you go, and Andrew Golden talking Nats with us, kicking off the Beltway Blitz, give us your favorite storyline or something to monitor moving forward for a Nats fan as a reason to keep tuning in.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Kay Cavalli. I mean, that's really interesting to me. I also think that Abby Ortiz is a guy. I know he got to a really strong start and it's kind of cooled off. But I think looking at what he and Chaparro can do as a first base platoon next year is really interesting to me. I think obviously they've been looking for a guy at first base for a very long time, but I think that those two have potential to be that. I'm just interested to see how these guys kind of adjust and adapt. You know, obviously they got to, you know, some of these guys got the hot starts. So I'm interested to see how they kind of adapt and make adjustments as the season goes on in the final 2 months. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. You know, Jackson Kent's another guy I'm looking forward to. Just a lot of these guys are making their debuts and getting their first taste of big leagues. How do they make adjustments and kind of how do they build upon their strengths and kind of learn what their weaknesses are and kind of adapt from there.
Andrew, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it, dude. Hit that NFL Saturday, please, Darius. Well, great. Now I will do that for the moment. GP, Jamar Chase left practice, said it's a hyperextended knee, but told everybody that he was fine. He was fine. I'm fine. It's fine.
Did you see the video of that injury?
It didn't look great.
It looked awful.
Yeah.
He like awkwardly steps down. Like imagine walking off a curb, but not knowing you're going off of a curb.
We've all done it.
Landing that way and like being like over your legs a little bit. That's what happened at full speed.
Yeah.
Looked terrible. But in the interview with the team's website, he said that he thinks he's just fine. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, it reminded me of Bryce Harper going into that first base bag.
Oh.
And we go, oh my God, that's it. That's years. And it wasn't. It was like 2 days.
It was the clearest ACL tear ever, like according to all the Twitter doctors. And then he was just back on the field because he didn't get hurt.
Right.
Ashton Jeanty, also another guy that survived what looked like a really bad scare.
Yeah.
This is where these aggregators, social media and otherwise, I think are a disservice to like people that actually cover teams that are out there working hard on the beat, like you know, John Keim and these folks. Because all the sites out there and the accounts that do the aggregating were like, feared torn ACL for Ashton Jeanty, and the ACL, the letters were thrown out there. It was a scary-looking scene, supposedly. The team gets down on a knee around him and is saying a prayer, and he gets carted off the practice field. These are the types of phrases you hear when your season is over.
Yep.
And somehow, and I don't know how that even happens, and you just have an ankle injury, like a rolled ankle or a sore ankle or whatever, but that's where we're at. He has a sore ankle. He rolled his ankle, effectively, and he's going to be okay. Now, is it a high ankle? Is it a low ankle sprain? Not really sure. And how about this? New head coach Clint Kubiak, who went to coaching school with his dad, Gary, says, I'm not going to get into injuries, but he is on the mend. So we don't really get any information on week one yet, but man, do they need him. They got to beat the Dolphins. They play the Dolphins, very winnable game in week one. They play two bad teams in the first 3 weeks, and then they have a murderer's row after that. So if they're going to have any chance to hang around,
if you'd like
AFC
to have
West,
a season,
you better be 2-1 through three.
There's no question. And even still, that may not be enough. That division is a buzzsaw. I mean, Kansas City's a sleeping giant. No one's really sure what they're going to be.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's the Chiefs are the third best team in the division.
Yeah.
Good luck.
With the Chargers and the Mike McDaniel, good Lord, I can talk, I swear. The Mike McDaniel revenge tour, reminding everybody that's an excellent offensive mind. Herbert's a sleeper MVP candidate for folks with that perfect marriage right there. And you know, Jim Harbaugh, before he rubs everyone the wrong way, wins a bunch.
So this one may not go as favorably for the player and may not be one of those stories where you're like, thank goodness it wasn't as bad as we thought. But we're still awaiting word. Adam Schefter reports Calvin Austin, who the Giants signed, was going to be really important for them. Remember, they lost Wandell Robinson.
Right.
He comes over from the Pittsburgh Steelers to be a volume guy, especially with Malik Nabers not all the way back yet. Calvin Austin got carted off today with, quote, a serious knee injury. That's Schefter. Ugh. It's not an aggregator telling you that. So that is very bad news for the New York Giants. Travion Henderson, undisclosed, is not going to practice midweek. Sounds like he's dealing with something. We've reached that part of camp where the injuries are just piling up all over the place.
So I have a part of my Fanatics read that I do all the time is I have to compile an injury list. And it's like they generally want me to keep it to wide receiver, running back, you know, guys that are going to be in fantasy or, you know, part of parlays, overrunners, and things like that. And the list was exhaustive. Like I literally got a third of the way through it. I was like, okay, I have plenty of names for my read yesterday. I mean, it is unbelievable what's happening. And it always feels like we talk about this with different sports, and it's obviously not the same, but pitchers keep getting hurt at the same rate as they did years ago when they threw like every other day and everyone played long toss every hour and guys threw 200 pitches and everyone completed every game and it is what it was. And now they're getting hurt at the same rate despite no one's more taken care of or thought about than the young pitcher. And guys still get hurt. The training camps have never been softer. It's never been easier to get through these sorts of things. And yet the injury rate seems pretty constant.
How about this one from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network? He's saying that Tua Tagovailoa, according to his sources, Danny, in Atlanta now, right? Going to be the starting quarterback of the Falcons, we thought.
Uh-huh.
that he has played so poorly so far that he has made the plan for him to begin the season as the starter impossible. That is a quote from one of his sources.
Impossible.
Not just in the preseason game, but it sounds like at practice as well, Rappaport says, while adding that this is Michael Penix's job for the taking. Now, Penix has not been healthy, isn't all the way back. We're not really sure when he's going to be 100%. Is he going to be ready for week one? But they brought in Tua to be the starter for at least a couple weeks until Penix came back. And we're now at a point, according to one of the lead reporters in the country, that even if Penix isn't ready, they may start someone else. Because that's how bad Tua has looked.
He's made it impossible. I mean, that turn of phrase is jaw-dropping.
I always thought he was a Mike McDaniel creation. Like, that it was, you know, thank God you've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and one of the better running games in the league and maybe the smartest guy who's an offensive coach in football in Yale or Harvard or whatever he was is Mike McDaniel. But you leave there. You're out of the nest for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And the Falcons can't play you for a month before they get back to Penix? Like, that is crazy.
That is bad. He's throwing with the wrong hand or something.
How bad must practice be going for him?
Can you imagine how terrible it must be going?
Let's talk Commanders football, shall we? Our buddy Liam Griffin of the Washington Times. Liam, I want to start with something Dan Quinn said today in the press conference. He was asked if Adafe Owe is definitely going to be healthy for week one. And in the same question, is Trey Amos going to be ready for week one? And he didn't answer the question. He didn't say, yeah, we think those guys will be ready. Is that because he doesn't want to give any information? Or is that because those guys might not actually be on the field against the Eagles?
If we'd say that the answer probably lies somewhere in the middle of, I think there is a non-zero chance that those guys aren't ready. And based on the way the training camp has been going throughout the roster, where guys seem like they're ready to go, and then they get back onto the field, and then with Allegretti and Trey Amos both are back for a practice or two and are then back rehabbing that injury. So I think they really want to be as cautious as possible and really start to kind of soft launch the idea that these injuries are going to be treated maybe more conservatively than they would have been a month or so ago.
So is it because they've ramped up the intensity? Is it just bad luck? I've asked for more preparedness. And their response might be, we can't. Everybody's hurt. It's just sort of this catch-22. It seems like no matter which way they go, it's either going to be not really ready for the regular season or a bunch of guys hurt. I don't know. I don't have a great question there, Liam. It just sort of feels frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that we came into training camp kind of looking for was last year's energy and, you know, late July and August was kind of lacking. It seems like players obviously don't rest on their laurels, but maybe the coaching staff or just kind of the overall atmosphere was one of, all right, we've shown the league what we can do. Let's go do it again. Whereas this year, I mean, even from the first start of training camp, they were immediately, just from the ways they aligned, like from going to the huddle to the line of scrimmage, like they were sprinting to the line. There was every single drill had that kind of energy. But I think you're right. It does seem just kind of like rotten luck where guys, you know, have these kind of tweaky injuries. We saw one with Bill last week, and then they rehab it, and they think they're ready to get back out there, and then, oh, you tweak it again. It just kind of seems like rotten luck in a lot of ways.
Do you feel better, worse, or the same as you did going into camp day one about this team right now?
Worse. I think it's worse. Because on one hand, you have Stephon Diggs, and going into camp, we spent all kind of summer and late spring talking about like who wide receiver two is. And then you go out and you answer that question. But losing Laremy Tunsil, I would say that he's probably the second most important player on this roster. And losing him for at least half of the regular season and maybe the entire regular season, that's really tough. And that's your left tackle spot. And you bring in Brandon Coleman, who I like a lot, and a lot of the people around the team like. The team are very high on him. But then you lose Nick Allegretti, and that was already such a big question mark of, okay, cutting Tyler Biadasz always felt a little bit weird. We never totally understood it. Allegretti has not started at center in his career, and so he's moving, and now he's moving to a different position and has not had a ton of time in training camp. And then adding on to that, injuries to Johnny Newton, these kind of lingering issues with Owe and Chaisson, and then not having Trey Amos, like, I think it's, I am definitely less confident than I was this time a month ago, and not through any fault of the players or the coaching staff, but that injury luck has just been kind of rotten to start the year.
What's going to be different in the regular season about how they use Sonny Styles? All we've seen is kind of some read and react and make a tackle, you know, 5 yards down the field occasionally. Doesn't really seem that exciting for the number 7 overall pick.
Oh, yeah, and they did not draft him to do that. And Dan Quinn started alluding to that very quickly. Like, I know the internet has had some bad faith takes, I feel like, about Sonny Styles, or if not bad faith, just kind of like uninformed of what NFL linebackers are expected to do. But Dan Quinn was very open. He was like, this is not the role he's going to play. Part of that is because you're playing limited snaps. You're still getting used to NFL speed, and you don't really have time in each game to get your feet under you. But he's going to be coming downhill way more. You're going to see a lot more Sonny Styles as a blitzer, potentially Sonny Styles coming off of the edge. And then when Sonny Styles is dropping back into coverage, what we've seen in camp is that guy is making plays on the football. Like, he has a safety background. And even after practice today, he was sitting out there with the cornerbacks, like doing a little bit of extra work after practice ended. He has a kind of ball hawking nose for the football mentality. Yeah, it hasn't shown up in preseason. That's not something that concerns me at all. But I think you're going to see him in a much more either see ball, hit ball, getting to the quarterback or getting to receivers to disrupt passes in a much bigger way during the season.
Beltway Blitz Commanders, Liam Griffin, Washington Times on Grant and Danny. So we're about to ask this of listeners, and I want to get your feedback on this first. What kind of leash do you think the Commanders should be afforded to start the season? It feels like there is a lot of pressure. Year three of a program is normally let's go time, right? And this is year three for Peters and for Quinn. But at the same time, it's two new coordinators. They are dealing with a bunch of issues. They have a brutal start to their schedule. How much grace should they be given, even in the third year of this program, 2 years removed from an NFC championship game?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting perspective because we talked about where I was this time a month ago. This time a month ago, I kind of saw that really tough opening stretch as a silver lining because, yeah, it sucks that you're facing, you know, Cowboys, Eagles on the road, defending Super Bowl champions. You know, the Rams are also like right at the midpoint of the season. But I would rather get all those teams early than late. Like, a lot of times we see these kind of teams that have high expectations or have, you know, postseason pedigrees. They don't always hit the ground running. Meanwhile, we do see a lot of times when you're bringing in new systems, if it's installed properly, you can really catch some teams by surprise when they don't have the full film on you. And so I thought, you know, I would rather face Philly week one, have Seattle week three, and maybe you're able to steal a couple of those games early. But again, those injuries make that whole evaluation so much more difficult. I still think that there's going to be a pretty substantial leash for everyone involved through the first half of the season. But I think that if they're not, you know, when the end of November comes around, if they're not in those in-the-hunt graphics and at least around 500 and maybe in sniffing distance of a wild card spot, like, I think the calls are going to get a lot louder as the season goes on if things don't come together the way we thought they would based on how this offseason went.
Liam, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Liam Griffin of the Times on our Beltway Blitz. All of our camp coverage on the Commanders this time of year brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. That is the question we're going to get to next. We can open up the phones on this. Do you think we should be giving a bunch of grace to the team at the beginning of the year? New OC who's never done it, David Blau. New defensive coordinator, never done it at this level, Durante Jones. They have a lot of new players. They've dealt with a ton of injuries in camp into the preseason. And we know the toughest quarter of their schedule is the first quarter. It's those first several weeks. It's a treacherous murderer's row schedule. Does that all add up to you saying, let's give them some leash here and let's not overreact? Shouldn't be sounding the alarms if they're off to a 1-3 start? Or, because it's year three, do you feel differently? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's next on The Fan.